Well, as quickly as people on social media last night played doctor, how come the real doctors can't give me something? Patrick Mahomes. Let's welcome in the man, the myth, the legend, Jay Foreman. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, if I find out some good news about Patrick Mahomes, I'll be a little bit better.
Yeah, it was that was weird. I mean, it didn't look like there was much to it, but you know, when you know, a player like that lays on the ground, you know, there's something serious. I didn't really realize at the time that it happened that they popped his kneecap back in. That was pretty impressive, and then he walked off. So hopefully, it's just one of those things that was like a little scare, and then he's able to come back from it. You know,
hey, why do you think in a case like that? Because some people are like, well, shouldn't have run a quarterback sneak. It's on Andy Reid. Why do we want to blame people in the moment? I mean, quarterback sneak is one of the most effective short yardage plays in football, and it was a freak injury.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a, you know, emotional or rational response. I mean, he could, okay, so if he got hurt on a drop back, is that any better? I mean, because he really hurt his ankle, you know, the week before where he got ruled up on, and it was by his own lineman. So what can you do then? You know, it's just the way it is, social media, and one person says it. You know, I think, I don't know, it was one of the, you know, popular guys that are on TV said there's no way that you run a quarterback sneak with a quarterback that's hurt. Well, then what play do you run? Mm-hmm. I mean, they need a yard. He's not like some 5 foot, you know, nothing quarterback. They were gashing him pretty good. It seemed like a pretty safe play, you know, at the time. And so it's just kind of weird to have that mindset that as soon as an injury happens, you know, let's blame, you know, somebody. But it was a freak thing, so hopefully it's not too much, you know, going on. And, you know, he's good for the league because, you know, he's a good humble kid. And obviously, you know, for you Chiefs fans, you guys need your all-world quarterback.
Yeah, I don't need to see every highlight show showing his knee being put back in. Let's talk about Nebraska because Sunday morning, I think you had people bouncing off the walls. You and Burrs are talking about the aftermath of Minnesota. We know what that game meant to you. Didn't go so well. Now Nebraska's 4-3 going into an off weekend. Where do you think Nebraska football is 7 games into the 2019 season?
Well, we're average. You know, everybody's hoping that we would be above average. So we're just right in the middle. We're an average team. Sometimes, you know, I think we play average, and you know, that's kind of where we're at. You know, average is sometimes you look good, sometimes you look really bad. We don't have that, you know, in between. You know, either feast or famine. I guess the most frustrating part is like a lot of the problems that Nebraska has, or whatever you want to call it, is all self-inflicted wounds. You know, like, you know, illegal procedure penalties, not lining up, penalties. You know, the lack of fundamentals. I mean, we're still out here trying to bump tackle, or what I call a bump tackle. And we're playing, you know, big Power Five school. And then it's like, you know, you go out there and it's a competitive game. It just seemed like some guys, and I think I read where Sip said, you know, Scott said, you know, some guys were ready to play and wanted to play, and then some weren't. You know, I think the guys that weren't ready to play were already in the bye week mode and were okay with getting embarrassed. And then you had some guys that were out there at least trying and trying to do the right things. And that's where you see, you know, losing, you know, be down 34-0 to a team that by no means should be up 34-0 on Nebraska, regardless of who's playing quarterback. You know, I think I was really more disappointed in the defense because that's a game that you kind of, I would think that you look forward to. And so, you know, I wouldn't say they look scared. They just look, you know, really soft and not really motivated to play that game.
Jay Foreman joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. Let's talk about the defense, because trying to figure out the last 5 games, most important to get bowl eligible, find 2, you'd like to have 3, get 4, get 5, whatever. But what side of the ball is going to get better that you can fix on the fly? If I'm looking at defense where some of the issues that keep creeping up are misalignment with your down linemen, linebackers not being where they're supposed to be in fits, or misidentifying fits, or flowing to the ball too far. Stuff on defense that you're seeing that we've seen for a while, is there any part of that that you think they can fix through the course of the season, or is that just that's in the DNA right now?
I think it can be fixed. I really do, because it's all, I mean, those are all want to, and, you know, paying attention to details and stuff like that, you know, and so those are things that, you know, that they could, you know, get back to the basics. You got two bye weeks, you know, counting this one, you got two bye weeks. So that's good. So, you know, you can do some self-scouting. You can scout each player. You can kind of have a, hopefully a come to Jesus with these get older guys. And they, hopefully that light comes all the way on instead of kind of flickering, you know. And those are things that are all fixable. And I think the coaching staff is going to look at, like, okay, you know, this is what we called and we can actually play and actually, you know, successful at and look good doing it. And these are some of the things that, you know, we either tried or thought was going to be good or combination of the players. And then go from there. It's all fixable stuff. And that's the most, you know, frustrating thing. And, it, you know, for me, you know, failure is just not trying. You know what I mean? It's the lack of effort. And just, there were some guys out there, especially when you're seniors and, you know, whether you want to get drafted or have hopes of going to the next level, and you're, and this is probably besides Colorado, well, take Ohio State, you know, out of it, but, you know, besides Colorado, or you can throw Ohio State in there, this is your third game with like opponents. And what I mean by that is, you know, the NFL is going to look, they're not going to look what you can see, you know, of course they'll watch the South Alabama tape, but you can't really get a, you know, good evaluation in a team that you boat race, you know what I'm saying? They want to see what you do against like teams in high pressure situations, big time games. That was it, and some of the guys just, you know, laid an egg. And fortunately for them, they got some big games coming up down the road to right the ship. But you know, it's the hard thing about football. You know, you win and lose a lot by your preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You practice more than you play. Like it's like unlike any sport, because you know, look at NBA basketball. You got 82 games. You know, during the season they hardly ever practice. And then you got baseball, you know, that's, I don't know, 162, and it seems like playoffs goes forever. Hockey the same. And so, you know, it's a grind, and it's hard to do. And you know, you guys need to, you know, get it together. And then I think offensively, you know, one of the things I will say is, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, give me your opinion, I think in that, you know, the first couple drives, I thought the offensive line held up pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I thought there was a clean pocket for Noah. I think he was very decisive, which was refreshing as far as when he was running. He was finishing runs. I think where the offensive line really, I guess, took a step back or got taken advantage of is when we didn't stop them on defense, and you know, they're down 21-0, and then we, you know, kind of played in their hand or had to, from, you know, play calling standpoint, and then from an execution standpoint, you know, they were pretty much playing with house money, you know, halfway through the first quarter or especially through the first half. And being able to pin their ears back, and we weren't giving in any resistance as far as stopping them. So, and they had all the momentum. I mean, when they're backed up on in their, you know, in their own red zone, which would be our green zone, what I call it, and it's 3rd and 9, there's a time 3rd and 12, and they run the same play to our right, their left, without being touched until he runs out of bounds past the first down marker. That's, you know, that's pretty, you know, deflating in that. As an offensive play caller, if you're waiting to call your plays, because you're thinking, okay, we might get the ball back at the 50 or close to the 50, so we can be aggressive and we can kind of get 2 first downs and get 3 points and kind of start playing that, pin them down there and kind of take momentum of the game. Well, you get another first down, next thing you know, they're over our 50. Next thing you know, they're scoring. So it's a domino effect, and it's something that, you know, Scott and those guys are going to have to, you know, I wouldn't say come with a whole new game plan, but definitely, you know, make some adjustments, or I'm assuming they're going to make some adjustments on top of really, really, really honing in on the fundamentals that have really, really, you know, shot our own selves in the foot. Maybe just changing up their, you know, way they're going to go and approach each game from here on out.
Is buy-in still the right word?
Yes. You know, it is buy-in. It's just, you know, it's funny, is like with, and it's weird, and I don't know, you know, I thought where Sip said the culture and all that. You know, I think the culture of our, like, I call it individualism, not like you say, buy, or what you just said, buy into the team concept. That's been seeped into this, like, university long before Scott got here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so it kind of rears his ugly head, you know, where, you know, if he, you know, wanted to come in and really had a really physical, you know, first spring, I think there would have been some people to be like, hold on now, you know, you're doing too much, you know. So you know, I think that kind of gets into it. And I think there's some guys that, you know, yeah, they're working hard. Yeah, they're out there, you know, having the starting position. But at the end of the day, they think they're, you know, hired contractors. And in order to play defense, you know, you have to have that. It's, you know, great Alabama and all these teams, Michigan State, they have great individual players, but they make those plays within the confines of the defense, and then everybody else makes plays off of that. If you make a play few and far between and give up four and five, that's not really going to help you, and it's not going to win you any games. And that type of mentality does not travel well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, and I always say it always kind of things work in twos, right? So, or which ends up being three. So for every individual player, he has an effect on two or three other players, because it's whether he's voicing his opinion to be an individual player or he's just out there playing like that because they're learning from him, right? So for me, I had a good example in Clint Brown and Troy Dumas and Dante Jones and those guys, right? And Grant Wistrom had those.
Yep.
Chad Kelsey had those. So the only thing that we knew is what we saw. So imagine being at different positions and you see guys out there, whether it's lack of effort, you know, not following the rules of the defense. You know what I'm saying? Not kind of, you know, coming into these games and maybe they're not preparing as hard as they could. What do you think that's the way they're learning? So that's the hard thing about it, because, you know, going through the offseason and getting, you know, strong, bigger, faster, stronger is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is you got to practice a certain way to add on top of that toughness. And that's where you get your confidence from. That's where you get the, you know, air quotes of swagger. You get all that stuff that comes with it because you put in the work in the weight room, you've seen it come to fruition on the field, and then you band together because I can look over to my left and right knowing everybody and put in the same amount of effort, which is above and beyond the average Call of Duty to get to, you know, success. And so hopefully, you know, that game, I know they took some time away, but that game is, you know, woke everybody up and say, okay, all right, let's come on, mm-hmm. You know, enough is enough. And I think they have the right coaching staff and the kids to do that.
More likely, we'll get chatter on this, more likely to improve as the back half of the season unfolds, Nebraska's ability to run the ball or to stop the run?
I would say stop the run.
Okay.
definitely stop the run. I think that, you know, our running game, a lot depends on, you know, the health of the quarterback and the passing game. I just haven't seen it there yet. You know, and I think it's hard. And you know, here's a really thing that I've heard a couple of people talk about it, but not really a lot. You know, when you have like a dynamic and a dynamic player in Maurice Washington, where he shows you such glimpses of being a dominant player, a big factor. And then you go into a game, you know, like I think Northwestern, mm-hmm. and you know, he's suspended. You know, that kind of like, that changes your whole game plan. You know what I'm saying? And I know as a player, if I was suspended on something I did, I don't know. Granted, I think I would be out there going out there to prove myself to the team. But, you know, when you're playing in a rhythm type of offense, the rhythm's already off. You know what I'm saying? So you can never kind of get out of, like, neutral. And so a lot of that depends on Adrian's health, Maurice Washington, which I think will open up Dedrick Mills. You know what I mean? I think if we can get some better blocking at the point of attack, you know, him going 4 or 5 yards and then busting out a 12, 13, 14 yarder will kind of be more of the recipe they'd like to get. And then that will free up Adrian and then hopefully Maurice Washington for the big, big run. And then everything else will kind of like be like the sun coming up. So we'll see if they can get that going. But I think the defense will be able to do a better job. One, because I think that, you know, got a better defensive line than our offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Colin Miller, even though he's making mistakes, I think he's a kid that I have a tremendous amount of confidence in, that everything that he's learning isn't happening two or three times. And I've just seen that just because of his tape. And so I think it's getting there. They just got to get some better edge setters. So, you know, a little bit more of a four-man front might be something that you see in the future, because that definitely looked a lot cleaner and better, you know, as they, you know, used that before.
Jay, as always, we appreciate your time. Enjoy your little off weekend.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, you always win the off week, man, unless, you know, you get some bad news. But so the off week is always a win, and if they practice right, it's a work to win.
Great stuff. Jay, we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, you too.
That is Jay Foreman. You can follow him on Twitter. Got to be nice to him. Foreman 5644, because I believe Jay This is Tweets Protected. Jay drops knowledge on the Gary Sharp Show every Football Friday fiesta. We will dive more into some of the things that Jay touched on. He was on point about more likely Nebraska being able in the back half of the season to run the ball or stop the run. There are some numbers about the run against Nebraska's defense in the conference with two teams that were exceptionally good, two teams not so much, but you put the four together, those numbers are not good. Plus, we will get in more of that. Is buy-in the right word? Last night on the network sports talk show, Scott Frost said only a portion of his team was ready for the Minnesota game. What does that mean? And were they younger ones? Were they older ones? Were they newcomers to the program? That matters. Brett Ciancia from Pick Six Previews. He matters a lot when we go across the country breaking down week number 8. If you're wondering at home, there's been no report on Patrick Mahomes' health status. This is the Gary Sharp Show on a Football Friday fiesta on 1620 The Zone and 1620 The Zone app.